It's back to school. Spirit Halloween is open and we're drinking Witch's Brew.
Find out how to huckleberry legally.
Have you heard about the exciting new podcast about an East Idaho town? No, the other one.
And we tell you about our trip to the Oregon coast.
It's right here, right now, tonight on a brand new IFAF.
IFAF, Idaho Falls Local, Independent, Alternative Media, with Mike Nelson and Carly Morgan.
Good evening, ungovernables, outliers, independent thinkers,
risk takers, heartbreakers.
Click that like button, subscribe, rate, comment. We would love it if you would help us let the algorithm know you're into Idaho Falls infotainment, opinion, bad jokes, and dad jokes. And let's see here. KFC is bringing back its potato wedges today.
Oh, yay. About time.
It's big Idaho news, of course.
I mean, yeah. Well, and especially after they were doing those, like, potato bowls. Mm-hmm. Like, come on. At that point, it feels like they're missing.
You're a potato-loving gal.
Oh, yeah.
Do you like the wedges?
Oh, yeah. I mean, they're fine. Like, it kind of depends. Mm-hmm. If they're done well, absolutely. But, like, overall, I'd probably go for, like, a loaded mashed potato before anything else because it's just so good.
Yeah.
You know, I feel like a potato is only as good as its extras.
Okay, you know? Right.
Yeah.
It's a vehicle.
Yes, exactly. Baby. A delicious vehicle in and of itself, but, like, you got to have the salt and butter to really bring forward that good potato flavor, you know?
I like the potatoes that have some crispiness to them. And I don't think that the wedges sort of, your teeth just sort of sink right in.
They're a little too mushy for
you. They're a step above mashed potatoes.
That's fair.
I like Freddy's fries.
Ooh, Freddy's fries are good. Toothpick fries,
you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And of course, the standard McDonald's fry.
I mean, yeah.
Crispy on the outside, little mush on the inside. Just a little. Anyway. Oh, and is it back to school already? This is the week?
Yeah. It is. I've been getting so many ads for school supplies, some of which I didn't even realize at first were school supplies.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't know if it's because things have gotten so much more personalized lately.
You were just talking a couple episodes ago, I think, about how much cooler school supplies are.
Much cooler. Yeah. Back in my day, you had those standard, like, red, green, yellow folders, and then that was it. Like, there were no pastels.
We had, not Parcheesi, but it was Poughkeepsie. No, it was the ones with the sports graphics on them.
I'm bad at sports.
Jumanji.
One of those. Peachy folder?
Peachy. Yeah, okay. That's what it is.
Okay.
Peachy.
Yeah.
Thank you for the Googling.
Yeah, no problem.
Peachy. It's this famous image right here that's all we had. That was as creative as we got.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, back in the day, school supplies were just office supplies.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they didn't make them cute and fun for kids.
Right.
They were just, like, the same thing that you'd get for adults for their desk jobs.
There were no K-pop Demon Hunter folders.
Right. No, nothing like that. Absolutely not.
That's so fresh. I wonder if they have some heading into this school year.
You know, that's a good question. I have to assume that if they were smart, they started that.
You would think
beforehand.
It's been on Netflix since June 20th. I don't know how, but we'll get to that later on in the show.
Yes.
Too.
Yeah.
I also want to mention that Spirit Halloween is there in Joanne Fabrics.
I know.
We were wondering where it was going to go.
Just like Luke curling up inside the carcass of his fallen, gosh darn it. What is
it? Tauntaun.
Tauntaun. Thank you.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
On Hoth.
I gave you Peachy, you gave me Tauntaun. We're fair now.
We're even.
Yes.
Because I would hate to owe you.
But yeah. I feel like they always just find the freshest dead. I think that adds to the spookiness of it.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, okay.
Somebody even commented the body of Joanne's is not even warm. It's still warm or something.
Yes. Yeah. It's not even cold yet.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Still warmed by 1,000 hot glue guns.
And speaking of Halloween, we were able to get our hands on one of the...
Ooh.
Everybody's talking about Alani flavors.
The Witch's Brew.
Witch's Brew and pumpkin cream.
Mm-hmm.
And we want to talk about this. We want to taste it for the first time.
Yes. Yeah. Now, you were saying that you had seen that these were, the Witch's Brew was the more popular of the two flavors.
Yes.
On your feed.
But the person I talked to said, oh no, it's the pumpkin cream.
Funny. Which I think makes a lot of sense. Which is how we
were
able to get,
they got it and then boom, immediately out of it.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. And I think it makes a lot of sense because bitches love their pumpkin spice. You know, now really quick, we have decided to share. We have, you know, I had just had a pumpkin white chocolate chip cookie today. Oh, delish.
Served at a summer barbecue.
I know, I know. You know, one of my neighbors already has a Halloween wreath up.
Yeah. Halloween comes sooner every year.
Now, I will say we have decided to split this because it's 200 milligrams of caffeine.
Here's what I learned. Yeah. Yeah, quick, like, got up to speed on Alani. Haven't had it yet. It's all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
Went to Target, went to Walmart, went to, it's everywhere.
That's good.
Is it?
Yeah. Okay. Do you remember the Beetlejuice Fantas that came out last year?
Do I?
The limited edition one. We went out and we bought a whole case.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And they were supposed to be caramel apple flavor.
Mm-hmm.
And they just weren't quite right. Like there was something kind of disgusting.
They fell short a little
bit. I'm like, I don't know. There's a weird, and maybe it's because, did we get the zero sugar one? Or did, you know what? No, we got the full sugar one. I remember because I remember thinking, this isn't worth all the sugar that I'm putting in my body.
That's what I thought.
Yeah. But this one I feel like really captures that caramel apple flavor.
It's got the tartness of the apple skin.
Yes.
A little bit of the acidic of the apple flesh.
Mm-hmm.
Yet the sweetness of the caramel. Damn, that's good.
And the darkness of the caramel.
And okay, so it's basically 10 calorie, right? Sparkling water. Do I have that right? 15 calorie.
Okay.
My bad.
Still pretty darn good.
Loaded with caffeine, 200 mm-hmm. milligrams. I mean, that's a cup of coffee is what, 50, 60?
Mm-hmm.
So that's a lot.
That's a lot.
Glad we're sharing this since it's like almost midnight.
Yeah.
And, okay, can you, okay, before I...
Yeah. I was going to say, I know I've taken a big swig.
Can you tell me what the sweetener is in that?
That's a good question. Let me see if
is it sucralose or stevia? And aren't those... Or azithromycin? No, that's...
Sucralose.
Sucralose.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Which I think I'm okay with.
Yeah.
But whatever, the sharpness of that beverage sort of covers up the, you know, the fake sugar taste.
Yes.
That we know and hate.
Mm-hmm.
Whether it's aspartame or sucralose, they all taste kind of the same. It's the, I think it's the stevia that I don't like the most.
Right.
Which doesn't make any sense because isn't that actually from sugar, but it's the one that tastes the most fake to me.
That's fair. I could see that. But yeah, you're right. That little acidity, the tartness of it,
you know what I'm
talking
about?
Really works.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I don't know what the Beetlejuice one was missing. I almost wish I still had a can so that we could do a side-by-side comparison. Because I remember they were clearly going... Okay, so this one
probably
definitely...
Only like one of those things, it was only like 10% Beetlejuice.
Yeah, right? Mm-hmm. Funny. Mm-hmm. Okay, but these obviously taste just like those little caramel apple suckers from when you were a kid, you know?
Yeah.
And I feel like that was the flavor the Beetlejuice one was going for, but there was something gross about it.
They didn't quite.
And this one doesn't have that.
So we want to tell you, we want to give these guys a plug. Mm-hmm. Shortstop Market across from Melaleuca Field.
Right.
So, you know, I've talked about pattern recognition before and how I've gotten better in my life about it.
Yes.
Especially when it comes to, is this a thing?
Mm-hmm.
So we learned about Shortstop Market a couple of months ago when we first tried Dubai chocolate.
Uh-huh.
They are one of the places that had it.
Mm-hmm.
And then when I saw that this Alani flavor was the hot new thing we got to try.
Right.
Like, really? Halloween shit in August? Okay. Whatever. I got past that pretty quick.
Right.
And you said, Carly Morgan, go ahead and grab that bag right there, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
You said, I wonder who the hell at Shortstop Market is watching all these TikToks.
Right.
Because they are on the viral trends.
Yes.
I found out her name is Joanna, and look at all this other shit they have.
Ass-kicking spicy pickle popcorn. That sounds fantastic.
Is that not right up your alley?
So up my alley. Thank you, Joanne.
I hope you pull out.
And they also had those like peach ice creams that looked so good.
They've got those.
I wanted to get those. I should have made you get some.
They've got, if you're a drinker, they've got the little, you know, suicides or unalives. Oh. What the hell are we calling them now? Where you put like a buzz bomb and then an energy drink and something else. Oh, they even give you a cup of ice.
Oh my gosh. they also have a, it looks like a strawberry Snickers.
Yes.
Now I can't quite tell because it appears to be in Spanish.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Which frankly, I've had lots of strawberry flavored stuff that's like Mexican strawberry flavored stuff, and it's so much better, I think, than the American
superior
one.
Superior to the
Well,
and look, there's
kinda
another
like
Snickers
Mexican
in there
Coke.
That I believe is passion fruit.
She Whoa, told really?
Me. Mm-hmm.
Ooh, I've got a chunky, gooey caramel Kit Kat.
Yeah, all sorts of crazy good. Shit, and I think they're gonna only half the building is the Shortstop Market, and I believe it's their plan to expand into what was once, somebody told me, like an old laundromat situation, but they're gonna do. Like, they're going to do a lot more of this, I guess. And so, usually we save our who's IFAF for somewhere later in the show, but Shortstop Market, across from Melaleuca Field, you are IFAF.
Mm-hmm.
Whoosh. Crisp High Five, 21 Finger Gun Salute, Chef's Kiss.
To you for bringing us all the good snacks from Tickety Talk before we even ask for them.
Can't wait to try this pickle popcorn tonight.
And I can't tell if that's guava or passion fruit. I feel a little dumb
I
for
think
not
she
being
said
able
it
to
was
tell.
Passion fruit.
That sounds right. Yeah. I'll assume that she knows what she's talking about.
But Joanna, like, we're best friends now, right? Ooh, and we followed Shortstop Market.
I mean, well, yeah, now we have
on social, on Facebook. We encourage you to do that, too, because they post a lot of the stuff that they get in, including the Labubu lemons or whatever. What
oh,
is it?
Oh, yeah, the Labubus.
Yeah, Labubu, that's what they are.
Yeah.
And Labubu outfits.
Uh-huh. Oh, funny. Okay. And, you know, when we
speaking of things that have been around for a while but are now super hot.
Yes, yeah. Which I do kind of get the appeal of the Labubus. I think they're pretty cute overall, but it's also kind of like, come on, dude. It's like... So
I've
much.
Been through enough of these, you know? Like, you know, I don't know, Cabbage Patch Kids and fucking Tamagotchis and Furbies and Tickle Me Elmos and all the cute shit. I'm kind of like, yeah, okay, that's the new one. But like, I have no interest in having one and using it or collecting it or displaying it. Like, I have run out of fucks to give about the cute new thing.
I get that. I
when
think
did
that's
it happen? Just now.
Well, and you know, I feel
with
like
Labubus.
I feel like a lot of kids' toys lately have gotten to be like more collectible style than like actual toys. Like I remember when I was a kid, like Furbies were a big, big thing, you know, and they were cool because you could like interact with them and you could play with them and you could do all kinds of stuff.
They did stuff we had never seen before.
Right. You know, and kind of same with Barbies. Like you'd get them and you'd like play with them. Like there was a sort of intention for the toy. But then you get like Shopkins and like mini verses and stuff like that. And you don't play with them. You literally just open them up, see what you got, and then put it on a shelf or something.
Right, yeah.
You know, like, they're just miniature random stuff from around your house.
Yeah.
You know?
There's another one. Polly Pockets, I heard, were super...
Oh.
Like, get you some money. Yeah.
Yes. You know, I have been hearing that lately. Polly Pockets were my number one favorite toy when I was a kid.
Yes.
Now, that being said,
they
I liked...
your jam.
Yes.
As everybody was saying 25 years ago.
Exactly. Yeah. Now, I specifically liked the slightly bigger, the 3-inch Polly Pockets that had the rubber clothes. Oh, my God. Those things were amazing.
God dang, that's good.
I know. That's really good.
I
hope that she'll set aside a little pumpkin cream one for us for later.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, and I wondered because we touched phones.
Oh, yeah?
Like, and I saw the information transfer, but I actually tried to text her today.
Oh.
And I couldn't get it to, I couldn't find her.
Hmm.
So, like, did I have to hit save contact and I didn't?
I
don't know.
That.
We'll message you on Facebook or something.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. You wanted to do, like, are they school supplies or are they...
Something else.
Adult toys, marital aids. What you got?
So I found one in particular. It popped up in my Facebook feed as I was just going about. And I just saw it and I was like, what is that supposed to be?
Let's put it here.
For those who are just listening, it basically looks like a knight chess piece from a chessboard, but it's like a hot pink and kind of silicone looking. You know, so when I saw it, I thought maybe it was like a bookend or something. But I also recognized that it kind of sort of looked a little bit like a butt plug. You know,
I was thinking maybe with the horse's head.
Right.
Of the night.
Yes.
That it might be one of those stimulators for the isn't there one called the bunny or the rabbit?
Like the ones that go in and out.
Oh, God, I don't know.
Like, yeah, they work both inside and outside at the same time.
Oh, right. Yes, there's, right.
Yes, yeah.
Because it departs, it's got a curve. It's like the Flying Y in Pocatello now.
Yes,
yeah. It's where I-15 and 86 meet, and then 86 has a couple of ears that tickle
sponsored
the...
Sponsored by Adam and Eve. Just kidding. I wish. But anyway. But yeah, I saw it and I was like, what in the hell could this thing be? So I opened up the ad and I find out it's an eraser. It's like a pencil topper.
Oh.
Yeah. Which sure like, honestly, they really should have had that in the picture.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the fact that they didn't have this sitting on top of a pencil is kind of a crime.
And I think it's the hot pink silicone.
Yeah. Yeah.
Silicone?
Silicone.
Silicon Valley.
Yeah.
Silicone dreams.
Silicone implants.
No, you're right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Just kidding. But yeah, anyway.
And were there others or was that the only one?
That was the only one that I saw this time. But I know I've been seeing some weird stuff like that on the internet.
Right.
You know, whether it's like...
Or has the internet just ruined us?
Oh, I know. I know. I mean, I did send you that lock the other day.
Ah.
That I thought was very interesting.
Shall we put it up, or is it too...
I think we can.
Okay.
I found it on the internet, so it must be okay.
You be the judge.
But yeah, I think that there just have been a few things lately that have either come across as phallic or yonic, without people necessarily intending for them to.
And we've got so much crossover, like so many things that now look like other things. You know, we've had food-flavored food for a long time.
Yes,
you know, here we have pickle. We just had.
Yeah.
We just brought out the.
Guava-flavored Snickers.
Right.
passion fruit.
Pickle-flavored popcorn, all that shit.
Yeah, yeah. Which I do love that pickle is the big flavor of the season.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I've been seeing so many people coming up with stuff about it. Like, gosh, I know there was a celebrity just the other day who did a pickle thing. And I was like, oh man, that sounds good. I'll have to find it and share it next time.
Oh yeah. Yeah. In my phone, I've got stuff like, and now that we've got the rep for trying everything pickle, thank you very much.
Right.
We've got stuff like, I think the Virgins sent us this crazy, like pickle, oatmeal cookie recipe.
Oh, right. That's some wild stuff.
Just a ton of shit here.
Yeah, sometimes I think that people just be putting stuff together just for funsies.
Here's the no...
Like just for clickbait.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Yeah. No bake dill pickle cheesecake.
Yeah.
Go ahead and hit pause on that if you want that f***ing recipe.
See, I feel like
you're weirdo.
That's just to be gross. You know, like I could totally get like a bacon cheesecake, you know, but like I don't think you can make pickle work for that. Especially because the acidity of the vinegar would usually, like, curdle the milk. So, like, ew. You know?
Yeah. All right. So, that was a real long intro, but I think we took care of the current zeitgeist.
Yes.
What's happening right now. And now we need to go back a little bit and say, because on my list of sort of catch-ups, follow-ups, was, I really screwed the pooch, you guys. You probably noticed episode 104 and 105 both... We're what we call in the recording world, overmodulated.
Right.
AF.
Mm-hmm.
It's so loud that it sounds like it's pegging the UV meters on the...
All of a sudden it sounds like we're recording in a tin can.
Not so tin canny as much as it is like sort of annoyingly, I don't know, scratchy or something.
Right.
But yeah, that's when you feed... So there's like levels are the fundamental of good recording.
Yeah.
And if you don't have your levels right, everything else is sort of fucked.
Yeah.
And we recorded two episodes in a row out of order in order to be able to go on vacation. And it just so happened that some Windows update decided to go. And I've noticed it does this. It's done this before where it goes, I'm going to change this setting. And it took our input setting from 50, where it usually is, to 97.
Oh, my God.
M-effer. So, yeah, 104 and 105, like...
Yeah.
The audio quality sucks too,
because you should, that should be something that you can just set and forget, you know, and the fact that they make you now have to double check every single time.
And how many times have we shown, like, I don't know, planes trying to land without their landing gear down, and why checklists are important. We actually have a pre-flight checklist for this show.
Yeah.
Believe it or not.
Yeah, basically.
As unprofessional as we come across during all this shit. And it still didn't work.
Yep.
Still. We still failed.
It happens. It is what it is, you know?
Yeah, but I silently judge, like, okay. There's been a couple of podcasts like that. What's that one that Idaho State Journal did a story on that took us to a post register? No, we'll talk about them though.
Oh, the hot spring. Oh, it's like small town ruckus. There we go. Yep.
And all the guys sound just like this.
Yeah.
They've got four episodes and they all sound just like this.
Right.
They're overdriving the mics. Get your fucking levels right, man. Would you? Let's talk about Hello Pocatello.
Yeah, since we're on the topic.
We'll tell you about them and kind of how we found out about them.
Uh-huh.
First of all, guys, welcome to the podcast space. We're excited to have you. And, oh, wow, one of those names where,
right?
Wish I would have thought of that.
Mm-hmm. I know. First off, it took us so damn long to come up with IFAF.
Yeah.
And even when we did, we kind of had to sit there and stew on it a little. Yeah.
Are people going to get it?
Yeah. There's not really like a good intrinsic Idaho Falls podcast name. You know?
Right, yeah.
Like, I feel like
Idaho Falls, and sometimes it doesn't.
Yeah, yeah, right. But like, Hello Pocatello, as soon as you hear that, you're like, oh, that is clearly a podcast about Pocatello.
And it rhymes.
Yes, yes.
Brilliant, no notes.
Yes, very cute.
And here's how I told Carly about it. I said, hey, Carly, a local news organization, a news source in a trust, has just done a story about a local podcast. And Carly said, really?
Uh-huh.
And I said, yeah, it's by two people, a guy and a gal. And Carly said, really? And her eyes got a little wider. I said, it's about a city in Idaho. Really? Because sometimes I'll lead her along with a very exciting piece of news like this.
Well, and I knew it wasn't about us, but I was kind of like, I didn't know that there was another set like that. And I assumed it was here, but yeah.
How'd you know it wasn't about us?
Because I feel like they would have reached out.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would have done like a, yeah.
Yeah, I feel like that's something that where you give the people a head up before you run the thing.
Right.
You know?
So what we've had here, if you're keeping track, we've had two news organizations, unrelated to one another, do stories about podcasts here in East Idaho that are like four episodes old.
Mm-hmm.
Hello Pocatello is like four episodes into the thing.
Yes.
Which is about when most podcasts quit.
Mm-hmm.
So that's interesting.
Yeah, you'd think that they'd wait till at least like 10, just to make sure they're going to stick around.
Yeah.
Because how funny...
You would think.
How funny would it be if you ran this story and then the next week they're like, hey, we're taking a break. You know, and then the next week, oh, we're taking a break. And then they don't even bother the next week.
I mean, dare we start... Honestly, we ought to keep track.
I think we should.
Here's what we're going to do. We will. We'll keep track. And when I do like the year-end predictions and stuff...
Yeah.
We'll see if the... And then we... Go back to see if I was right.
I like that. I think that's fun.
Yeah.
You know what? Let's start keeping a little list of our predictions. That'll be a good time.
All right.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm not ready to make a prediction about these guys just yet.
Oh, no, no.
But I am ready to raise an eyebrow over why this particular news organization chose to cover. Because here's the deal. With what we do, with opinion shows.
Sure.
Our material is subjective.
Oh, yeah.
As to whether or not it matters.
Yeah.
News is not subjective at all. It's objective. Let's say an explosion goes off in downtown Idaho Falls. That's the equivalent to, say, 100 sticks of dynamite.
Mm-hmm.
Is that news?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Okay. Let's say an explosion goes off out in the West Desert, equivalent to one stick of dynamite. Is that news?
Kind of depends.
Right. Or is that just a typical Friday night in East Idaho?
Yeah, I mean, if it is followed by a bunch of loud booms, then maybe it's news.
So when you've got a podcast that has been around, I don't know, 106 episodes, let's just say for sake of a number.
Yeah.
Versus one that's been around for six.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what is new? I get so confused.
Right.
As to who's making the decisions over there. Because here's what they've done. By telling you about this podcast is they've sort of painted themselves into a corner of questionable credibility. Mm-hmm. When they say a news source you can trust in all caps and then don't tell you about something that is objectively, I don't know, newsworthy?
Yeah.
Making an impact?
And maybe that's giving ourselves a little credit.
Maybe. Well, and you know what? So now I need to, okay, that was my soapbox. Yeah. That was my high horse. Let me step off and just say, I guess my feelings are just hurt, you guys.
See, and that's...
What did I ever do to you?
See, and that's the big thing with me, is when it first happened with Small Town Ruckus, I thought for sure, okay, clearly one of the hosts knows someone who's over here, and they're kind of like promoting it to help them out, and, you know, it's sort of a mutually beneficial thing.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, maybe somebody knows somebody.
Yeah. But now seeing it happen again...
Again?
Under near identical circumstances...
Now, hang on.
That's when I'm kind of questioning what's going on here.
The same organization also did a story about our buddy, Jeff, from the Jeff and Greg Show.
Mm-hmm.
And his Family Tree lemonade stand.
Yes.
That we just absolutely love.
Yes.
And frequented this past summer. But they didn't mention his podcast. So I don't know.
Right.
It just seems so random. And they accept advertisements that appear to be viruses, at least for iPhone users. Let's take a look. And by the way, they're not the only ones.
Oh, sure.
Local News 8 is doing it too.
Well, and I don't blame them. They got people to pay.
So, hey, a news source and a trust. If you want to be trusted, maybe A, cover material that everybody is aware of that is objectively news. Mm-hmm. B, don't accept advertisements from, you know, people that make a user's phone look like it's contracting a virus as they're browsing your site. It literally takes you away from the article you're reading to a new page. That's the definition of a virus.
Oh, yeah.
Something that does something you didn't ask it to do.
Oh, I might just steal the last wig of this. Is that going to hurt your feelings?
Go for it.
Okay.
And thanks for taking me out of that rant.
You're good. You're good. Whew. Well, and that's the thing. I don't disagree with you. I think that that's a pretty fair assessment. And frankly, I sort of wonder if that's why so many people just browse the headlines. Because they know that clicking on the website and actually reading the article is going to be a pain in the ass.
Well, that's a really good point. And here's, I just want to say something that I realized about a news source in a trust. A, they're just doing their best like the rest of us, right?
Right.
And let's not even talk about how a trust, and by the way, this isn't my opinion, actually Google it or ask ChatGPT. I'm not making this up. But it has been said that a trust is an organization that is often set up by the wealthy to protect themselves from lawsuits.
Yes.
And shield their assets. Mm-hmm. Let's not talk about that. Let's talk about how maybe they haven't covered us because they consider us, what? A legitimate news source. And of course you don't do stories about the competition.
You know, okay, that was one thing that I was kind of, that's what I've been thinking this whole time.
Yeah.
It's like, isn't it a little weird that any news source is covering a podcast or something?
Or maybe they can't even say our name really without going against their values a little bit, you know?
Probably true. Plus, I mean, we're just here to have fun and goof off and give you our opinion, so.
That's exactly why we need to exist. You're somewhat snarky and subversive smartasses on the sidelines.
Yeah. Ladies, go thrifting at Elsie's Closet Upscale Resale, Idaho Falls' only thrift store just for women.
Right now, save on blouses, sweaters, dresses, boots, and jewelry, knit cardigans, layering pieces, and bags, and now featuring Bumble and Bleat Soapery.
Elsie's Closet. Find trendy, sustainable fashion that's budget-friendly. Look for the pink sign downtown on A Street. It's not just a stop at the thrift, it's a whole vibe.
Do you want to feed your family locally raised beef? Right now, Virgin River Land and Cattle Company is offering 25-pound ground beef bundles to grill for your family.
You can have your very own farm-to-table experience. Find Virgin River Land and Cattle Company on Facebook. New customers use promo code IFAF to save 15% on your first purchase.
Virgin River Land and Cattle Company proudly ships to 5 states, Idaho, Utah, Montana, Oregon, Wyoming, and Nevada.
Do you love Idaho Falls as much as we do? Show it with a unique homegrown hometown tee from Teton T-shirts.
Including these cool vintage versions of the Civic Auditorium, the West Bank, and the Water Tower, our famous potato sack design, and the classic iHeart IFT. Check out TetonT-Shirts.com. These exclusive designs aren't available in gift shops.
Head to TetonT-Shirts.com. Link in post. Created in Idaho Falls for Idaho Falls.
Who would you rather rely on for your Idaho Falls fiber internet service? An out-of-state company or the best local choice, QuickNet?
Right now, get QuickNet's Crazy Fast 250 service for $37 a month or their Crazy Fast Gig service for $49 a month.
Unlimited data, no setup fee, no term contract, net neutrality, and hometown-friendly support. For Idaho Falls Fiber, choose QuickNet. New customers use code IFAF to save 15% on your first 3 months.
The Talk Show with the Happy Difference. IFAF, Idaho Falls. The Talk Show with the Happy Difference.
It's true, isn't it?
I think so.
We are the talk show with the happy difference. Hey, while this jingle is playing, let's also play this. It's pretty cool.
La, 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 la. The talk show that's all heart. The talk show with the happy difference. IFAF, Idaho Falls.
It's the new Playmill Theater Artist's Rendering. How cool is that? And the Play Grill? Don't get excited, that's just a placeholder name. I think that'd be good, right?
Yeah, not bad. Right? Yeah.
IFAF, Idaho Falls.
Neat. When are we going to have the new Playmill Theater? Do we know?
So it looks like no definitive date is set yet, but it will not be in 2025, which is a bummer. But I'm actually kind of glad because I still haven't gotten to go to the old Playmill yet.
Right.
Yeah. So
I thought this was their last season in the...
I don't know. I mean, do we have a couple of weeks left at least?
Let's check.
Is there a chance?
This is how you know we're not a real podcast. Right. Some things we don't know.
Yeah, yeah.
And we're not going to look up while we're doing the show.
Nope, sorry. We're doing this for speed, baby.
You know what? I bet Hello Pocatello.
They probably know.
Double checks their facts.
They probably do.
Huh.
Maybe that's the difference. Mm.
So another cool piece of information that just needs to be thrown in somewhere, and I think now's the time to do it. Olive Mae Davis Osmond. Mm-hmm. Was born in 1925, so this is obviously the 100th year of her birth,
the
anniversary of her birth.
Uh-huh.
Now, she's the mom of Donnie and Marie.
Right, right.
Like, and all the other Osmonds, too.
Yes.
By the way, she's the matriarch of the Osmond family. Pretty famous family.
Osmond dynasty.
Yeah, now she passed away, was it 04? I want to say, or 2014?
Damn, I mean, either way, that's a long life.
But yeah.
Yeah.
She lived a long, wonderful life. You know, she was born in Malad.
I did know that.
You did?
Yeah, my family on my dad's side.
Does every good Mormon know that?
No, my family on my dad's side were friends with some of the Osmonds.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Huh. Like, I actually think one of my aunts went on a date with Donnie or something like that. Okay. I'll have to ask. But yeah, no, there's a little family lore there.
Hmm.
Yeah.
I guess she lived in Samaria, which is a suburb of Malad.
Yeah. I know, isn't that crazy?
It was actually placed like on a National Register of Historic Places in 1979.
Wow. Okay.
But, like, I checked out Samaria from the map.
Uh-huh.
There's one store, and it's right next to their one park.
Yep. Yeah. Sounds kind of like Iona.
Yeah, exactly. Doesn't it?
Yeah.
And she married George Osmond from Etna, Wyoming, which is right there in Star Valley.
Yep.
So two people living in border towns,
mm-hmm.
clear out in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah, you kind of have to go out of your town to find someone because you're either related to half of the town or you've already seen them and you're not very impressed.
Right. Also, let's look at this right now. The new water tower, it just got so much sexier while we were out on vacation.
Right. I was so mad we weren't there for it.
Look at these LED lights.
Very cool. And I'm hoping that this denotes what they plan to do in general.
Right. When you see this.
Yeah.
And if you're just listening, the stem is lit up blue and the top is lit up white and red, kind of like an American flag.
Yeah, basically to mimic our current water tower.
There you go.
Yeah.
And then if you're like us, you're thinking, ooh, if they can do that.
Yeah, then what else can they do?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and frankly, I don't know
Christmas?
Why. Yes. Well, and also, I don't know why every new construction, you know, whether it's businesses or homes, isn't just coming with like weatherproof LEDs already like inserted underneath the little, what's that? That little ledge roof there, you know?
The holiday lights.
Yeah.
The year round you can just program.
Mm-hmm.
And yep.
Right. Right. It makes so much sense to me.
Isn't that like a Forever Lights? Isn't that a thing?
Yeah.
Isn't there a place here in town? Pretty sure.
No, I think there is, as a matter of fact. And yeah, I always thought that was a really good idea. I'd actually planned on doing that and then had to move. And I was like, oh, whatever. I'm just going to put that off for a while. But yeah, especially because there's at least one holiday a month that you can light up your house for.
So sexy.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And frankly, if every streamer can have an entire room full of LEDs making it look like Tron in the background,
right.
I don't see how we can't put them on the water tower too.
Yeah.
You know?
We're still in comments and follow-ups. By the way, you may remember our story, just because, you know, it's been a couple of episodes. We're catching up here.
Mm-hmm.
You may remember our bit on huckleberries, 100 gallons, Northern Idaho.
Yes.
It was one of our biggest TikToks this past, or was that Instagram anyway, this past week. And so we got a lot of comments sort of educating us.
Right, because we didn't know a lot about it.
Where, what, that kind of thing. So there's a few details of the story we missed. Boundary County, yes, it borders Washington, but the reason it's called Boundary County is it also borders Canada.
Right, okay.
So it's right there at the very tippy top of Idaho.
Yeah.
Now they say that the people who got busted with 100 gallons of huckleberries were illegal immigrants. I still don't know if that's true.
Mm-hmm.
That's what a few people in our comments say.
Right, right.
And that like they were busted for something just a week before that or something.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if that's true.
Yeah, we hadn't been able to verify that.
But what they are saying is 100 gallons. You guys, 100 gallons of huckleberries is a lot.
Okay, because I'm thinking like milk gallons, and that doesn't seem like a ton to me. I mean, it is, I guess.
Well, but let me give you by comparison, and thank you so much to one of the Hales for this.
Oh, the Hales are always coming in clutch.
Tammy and her family, Jason, Hayden, Nora. So four people total spent 6 hours and only got 2 quarts.
Oh, my gosh.
Picking huckleberries by hand. 2 quarts is, if you remember your measurements from elementary school, half a gallon.
Oh my gosh. Okay.
So family of four for 6 hours.
Yeah, that's a lot.
Right.
Okay. All right. Yeah. Now this makes a lot more sense. To be fair, we have not gone huckleberry picking. So we have like no real experience to pull from. So it's nice to have someone who's actually done it to sort of put that in perspective.
And you might be thinking, oh yeah, I know that. Okay. Well, we didn't.
Yeah, sorry, we don't pick a lot of berries. We go to the grocery store and pick them up, and that's it.
Like an American. No, but here's something else I didn't know for my entire life up until the last year or so. Check out this one. This video we're putting up in the center shows how I had no idea this was a thing. Mm-hmm. When you use a tool, often called a comb or a rake, look how easily you can pick berries.
Yes. Yeah, it is really satisfying to watch.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But apparently a tool of this nature sort of hurts the plant.
Yeah, it looks like it rips up some leaves and stuff like that.
So we did a ton of research right before this show. And you know what? I'm not even going to go to my notes. I'm going to do it all from memory.
I love it.
But come to find, because we had so many questions like, hey, so where can we go get huckleberries legally for commercial purposes and sell them and do all this the right way?
Mm-hmm.
Well, first of all, there's different kinds of huckleberries.
Oh, okay.
There's blue. There's,
which makes sense.
There's different varieties.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. So you need to know what kind of huckleberries you're going to go get. And then the second thing you need to know is where you're going to go looking for those huckleberries.
Okay.
Is it national forest land? Is it endowment land? Is it BLM land? They're all different.
Okay. Okay.
So you pick a place.
Which makes sense.
You call the people in charge of that place. And sometimes it can be different people.
Mm-hmm.
You tell them what variety you're going for. And then, in pretty much any case, you're not going to, you don't want to use a tool.
Right.
I don't think.
Gotta be.
And I'm not sure if that's law or just etiquette. Still an unanswered question.
Mm-hmm. It probably
from
depends
our deep dive, but
it probably depends on where you're going.
But and I can tell you this, even after the Hales spent, four people spent 6 hours and got two courts, the limit for commercial picking, if you get a permit, 10 gallons.
Oh,
you
wow.
You can go and get yourself 10 gallons.
I mean, that's a pretty impressive amount.
So that's a ton. They charge you $5 a gallon, depending on the land.
Okay.
I think this is for blue huckleberries in endowment land.
Okay.
But you can...
Which feels a little unfair if I'm the one putting in all the work.
Right, but then...
I get it, but yeah.
But then there's people saying, oh, yeah, you can sell the buckets for $80.
Jeez Louise, okay.
So 100 gallons was like $8,000. That's what these guys were going for.
All right, okay.
And then who do you sell them to? Well, first of all, so farmers markets.
And sorry, did you say 8,000 or 80,000?
8,000.
8,000, okay.
Yeah, if it was 100 gallons at $80 each.
Yeah, okay, that makes sense.
Okay, so then there's who you can sell them to. Mm-hmm. Well, you can set up a stand at a farmer's market, or you can sell them to, say, a juice maker or a snack maker, a treat distributor. But if you do that, you have to be prepared to show them the documentation of the permit you got along the way.
Gotcha.
And stuff. So like a lot of things, it's and now I'm tired of talking and I will accept no further questions, but like a lot of things, it's way more complicated than you think it is.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, man, these are some black market berries.
Yeah.
Now, okay, that being said, frankly, I don't feel like it's worth it for $8,000.
No.
You know?
No.
Like... especially nowadays with how expensive everything is like that. I mean, for like one person, if you're being really, really frugal, that's like 4 or 5 months of expenses, which is kind of a lot, but also like, come on, man.
Well,
you know,
and a lot of people, including us, going, well, why the hell can't you just farm them? And for that, Carly has the answer.
Yeah. So basically it's that their conditions are so specific that it's really hard to replicate them. The soil has to be a certain acidity. There's a type of fungus that grows in the soil that is hard to cultivate. But yeah, basically.
That's necessary for the plant to produce the fruit.
Exactly. Yeah. So basically it's just really hard to get the correct conditions in a backyard or farm.
Right. It requires a certain amount of moisture.
Mm-hmm.
And like you mentioned, some things for the soil. So
yeah.
Like, that's why you can, because my question was, look, I mean, because, you know, if you can grow roses.
Yeah.
We're going to talk about our Oregon trip and the rose garden here in just a minute. If you can grow those are persnickety. If you can grow
orchids. They can
orchids,
be very persnickety, yes.
But apparently, yeah, that's why people are going and getting them up in them their hills is.
Right.
It's really hard to produce the conditions needed for domesticated huckleberries.
Yeah, yeah. Now, that being said.
My God.
I would kind of think that since we're living, you know, so close to where they just naturally grow, if you have like maybe an older home that has never had sod put down or anything like that, and you just have like normal, like not naturally grown grass because, you know, like there's definitely some seed. But, you know, like if you have a relatively natural lawn that's very similar to the ecosystem here, you would think that you could throw a huckleberry plant back there and it would do okay. But yeah, I don't know why it just won't. Bummer.
I would think so too.
Yeah.
Wild. Okay.
And you know what? Maybe there are some folks who have had good luck with that. We'll have to see.
And if they have, they ain't telling you.
No, no. It's, why would you?
Huckleberry picking spot is sort of like a fishing spot.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. You know, you keep it in, either you keep it to yourself completely or you tell a couple people, but.
Right, right.
Or, back to that Trader Joe's bag that we looked at.
Oh, yeah?
Do you remember that with the Idaho Falls? Sawtooth National Forest was a sign. Trader Joe's this way, Idaho Falls this way.
Yes.
And by the way, I reached out to the actual artist.
Oh, yeah?
Via email. She hasn't gotten back to us yet.
Okay, hilarious.
But come to find out, she just had it featured on her website. And she's like, here's what I was thinking for this. Here's what I was thinking for that.
Oh.
And I wanted to ask her, does this mean that Idaho Falls is getting a Trader Joe's? Otherwise, why would you put it on the bag?
Yeah.
But, and she doesn't say on her website, like, I read everything.
Yeah, yeah.
But what is on that bag, too, is a morel mushroom, which is another thing people go hunting for.
Yeah, and you know what? I feel like those are connected to, you know, let me look it up really quick because I've got it here. But I think that was the fungus that like, they need to do well together.
Where you find one, you might find the other. Maybe that's why everybody says, well, you go up. That's why you go up to Hi-C.
Yes. Yeah. No, it's a mycorrhizal fungus. guy that I was talking about, but I don't know. Yeah.
Is there a mitochondria anywhere in there?
It is the powerhouse of the cell. That's so what I'd assume I heard it's in too. The cell.
Okay.
Yeah.
So,
anyway.
Did we answer all the questions about huckleberries?
Really quick, on the topic of reaching out directly to people, mm-hmm. I did end up reaching out to Snicker Verlanding to ask about Scribbles.
Oh.
He has not been returned yet, which is still so sad. So just saying, maybe if people want to start painting rocks.
That's the snake rock, yeah, yeah, that went missing.
Yeah, we could throw some their way.
Yeah, I bet it was just that misunderstanding, like...
Mm-hmm.
You know, the whole pet rock or the painted rock thing.
Yeah,
that we were doing a couple of years ago. It was like meant to be found and either released back into the wild or held onto as a treasure as evidence of your rock searching adventure.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Someone got confused. Ooh,
you know what?
Someone's.
What we really need for this is a rock with a big old piece of rebar or something in it. So that you can stick the rebar in the ground with the rock on top, and then you can't take it.
Right.
At least not very easy.
Somehow
glue
it down.
Yeah. You know what? I guarantee that there's some like scraps from a construction somewhere that's like that. Maybe they could help us out. I'll paint it.
So let's talk about our Oregon vacation.
Yes.
We went to the Oregon coast. And look, here's why we bring stuff up like this. Not to flex. I mean, I'm sure you've got your favorite vacation spot. But around here, where do people in East Idaho go? Because the Oregon coast is one of those that you go to Seattle, you go to Portland,
mm-hmm.
you go to, sometimes you drive all the way to L.A.
Yeah.
Or Vegas. Yeah, or
even
George,
like
or Cedar
Northern
City.
California for some skiing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Tahoe.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, Oregon coast, I think, is one of those quintessential East Idaho road trip vacations that you take. We split the driving up into 2 days.
Highly recommended.
It's only 12 hours, if you can power through, but mm-hmm. that's still a lot.
It's and a
there's,
lot.
There's so many cities you can stay in mm-hmm. on the coast, right?
Yeah.
Basically everything to the west of Portland.
Yes.
There's Astoria and there's mm-hmm. Rockaway Beach.
Rockaway Beach, uh-huh.
There's
Waldport, Newport.
Yeah, Tillicum mm-hmm. Beach. Tillicum, Tillamook. They're all there.
Yeah, yeah. Actually, yeah, Tillamook is over there.
We stayed at Tillicum Beach, actually.
Yeah.
And not because of the funny name.
Although that was a bonus. Yeah.
Okay. There's lighthouses.
Oh, yeah.
It's nice.
Yeah, lighthouses, sea lions, all kinds of other little critters.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Oh, the sea lion caves were cool, huh?
So, a couple of things, myths I want to immediately dispel.
Uh-huh.
I thought that there was absolutely no beaches in Oregon.
Right.
I thought it was all craggy, rocky coasts.
Right.
And indeed, there's lots of beach.
Mm-hmm.
You just, it's not California Beach.
Sure. It's not the warmest, but it's still
beaches.
Pretty nice. And especially in the middle of summer, it's actually really, I kind of prefer it in a way, because it's nice and hot and sweaty in the sun. And then you get into the nice ice cold water and you get to cool down.
Ice cold.
Yeah. It was super cold.
Yeah. So like.
Well, and unfortunately, the week we were there, it did a lot of raining.
Right. We were there for, a little rain and then a little sun.
Yeah.
But I guess it pretty much rains all year round except for July, August, September.
Yeah, right.
We went in August.
Mm-hmm.
But all sorts of, charming little seaport towns.
Yes. Very cute. Very touristy.
Saltwater taffy.
I remember we were driving into, I think it was Newport, and saw that the population was only 2,000?
Yeah.
Something
was
insanely small.
Telecom? Yeah. It was one
yeah.
Of the...
Which I don't remember if it was, I know that we kind of speculated either it's because they haven't updated that sign in a long time,
mm-hmm.
Or everyone else you see is a tourist. So they're only here for a minute.
Right. And all the signs were really nicely painted and they were mm-hmm. charming little seaport towns,
Right.
It's like how I imagine the East Coast is.
Right. That kind of New England style.
And even though I was born on the East Coast, I was born in Virginia, mm-hmm. but I never, went up and down. But I imagine, like Bob's Burgers sort of towns.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Yeah.
But it's a super cute little vacation spot. I think it's a little underappreciated. People, I think, generally are thinking, if I'm going to go to a beach, I might as well go to California.
Right.
Which I get. And also, if you like a little bit of like gloom with your beach vacation, frankly, I would say do Oregon because it's nice.
Which I kind of do.
Yeah.
And you got to remember, this is the same, close, same-ish strip of land that forks Washington.
Yes.
Which is a real place, even though it was in the Twilight movies, which is a work of fiction.
Mm-hmm.
Some might even say fan fiction, but come on.
Right.
Where it rains like all the time, like enough for a vampire to live comfortably.
Oh, yeah, for sure. For sure.
Same neck of the weeds.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay, so what's there to do? We went to the, this was a surprise hit in my book, Carl. Uh-huh. We went to the Tillamook Cheese Factory.
Yes. Yeah. Which I think is really, so that one was kind of past Rockaway Bay, if I remember correctly. And
heading up to Astoria.
Yes. Yeah. And I've actually done it before. There's also a really cool aerospace museum, like right next to them that I've also done in the past.
We saw a couple of, is Oregon big for aerospace? Because there were a couple of huge buildings in the middle of nowhere. What the hell's going on?
Yeah, maybe
did the Wright brothers go there afterward? Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah. But anyway, the cool thing about Tillamook is basically that there is a self-guided tour where you can actually watch the cheese being made in the factory down below you. And then you can go down and order something at the food court.
I got the cowboy mac and cheese.
I got the grilled cheese and tomato soup, of course.
I asked okay, you remember the the nice young lady behind the counter?
Yes.
I tried to ask. You know me. I use sometimes too many words. But I tried to ask, what's your biggest seller?
Yeah.
And the answer, come to find out, once she understood what the hell I was asking her.
Yeah, she did that Gen Z stare for a minute.
To the point where I asked her if she was doing it on purpose.
Yes. Yeah. And she just continued to stare and blink at you. And I finally had to be like, he wants to know what your most popular item is. And she's like, oh, Carly, I didn't realize that's what you were asking. Which is like, okay, girl, if you don't know that's what we're asking, then ask. Like, say, oh, I'm not sure what you mean.
And
you
again, know? I don't want to give him too much shit. Gen Z gets plenty of shit.
Yeah, no, but also, like, but, don't just sit there and stare. Like, that makes you look dumb. Ask a question.
Well, it gives people the two impressions. One, that you're either overloaded by what's going on.
Right.
And you need help processing, which isn't a good look. I'm sorry.
But
we're all able to pretty much do real-time processing.
That I can at least understand, though.
Or two, you're deliberately, like, you whether whatever combination of drugs you're on... Maybe it's your Adderall and your antidepressants, but you're sort of deliberately thinking in the back of your mind, I don't owe this person anything.
Right.
And in fact, when you're in customer service, kind of you do.
A little bit, at least.
And go to a Dutch Bros and go to a Chick-fil-A in America, where people that don't have the Gen Z stare exist and work and make money and serve and provide a service for a paycheck. That's how it's done.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah.
But I don't want to give him too much of a hard time.
It is what it is. It was, yeah, it was a weird, frustrating moment. And I didn't think that you would ask that complicated of a question.
She was a nice young lady.
Yeah.
And I'm sure she was just having a hard day. But their biggest seller is cheese curds.
Yes. Yeah, they're fried cheese curds.
They're so good.
They were really good. Now, that being said, my grilled cheese and tomato soup cost $20. It was an investment of a meal.
It was tourist, yeah. It was tourist trap prices.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And frankly, the tomato soup, at least, was crap. It was so bad.
Oh.
Now, I am a bit of a tomato soup connoisseur.
You are.
I have very particular things that I like in my tomato soup, to be fair, that not everyone does and not everyone agrees with. But I feel like a tomato soup should, in general, be creamy. Some people disagree, and they think that hot marinara sauce is tomato soup. They are incorrect.
And you might even specify, especially in a dairy.
Especially in a dairy.
Tomato soup.
Yes, and especially if you're eating it with grilled cheese. Like, literally, if I've gone out of my way to make a sandwich and put basically just cheese, maybe a slice of ham on it, but the main component is dairy, shockingly, I want dairy. Like, I want as much dairy as you can give me, you know? So yeah, I was a little bummed that their tomato soup was hot marinara sauce.
And we had some other fun times. We went up to Portland one day while we were there. went to the Rose Garden.
Yes, yeah.
The Japanese Garden.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so the International Rose Test Garden is one of my favorite stops in Portland, which, by the way, is known as the City of Roses. So that's kind of their whole shtick.
Right. Yeah. I was like, is it? Because, you know, I mean, I know the City of Brotherly Love. That's Philadelphia.
Right.
City of Angels. That's L.A. Yeah, but mm-hmm. you were like, isn't this the city? I don't know.
Uh-huh.
But... Yes, to your point. It is the City of Roses.
It is. Yeah. It is. And the coolest part about it is that it's a totally free attraction. You don't have to pay for that part. You do have to pay for the Japanese gardens that are next door, but they're like literally right next door. So if you're going to like go and enjoy some nature and stuff, it's a great way to do it for a relatively low price. Plus, it smelled so good. Everything was beautiful. I did sort of dress for the occasion. And I actually had someone stop me and ask to take my picture.
Well, I was going to say, and that was the first of like a handful of compliments. Like, Carly just killed it. She's, if you're just listening and haven't seen the pictures we've thrown up, in a dress with a parasol, just, you know, she absolutely looked like she belonged in a rose garden on her way to a tea party.
Yeah. Right. I'm just saying, if you have a chance to go there, you should absolutely go and smell as many of the roses as you can, because they've all got really unique smells, even though they're all the same flower, kind of.
Yeah.
But since it's an international test garden, you get lots of variety.
Carly smelled every single one. I only smelled the ones that were labeled, deliberately labeled, fragrant.
Yes.
But those were good, too.
Those were really good, huh?
And then we went and got, we searched for the, I don't know, the best restaurant in town. And it was a Friday night. It was kind of ballsy looking back.
It was, actually. Yeah. And this was our last night of vacation that we did all this too, which was kind of fun. Akita?
I just brought it up. Akati? How do you pronounce? There's a little carrot above the second A. A-K-A.
Yeah.
D-I. West African food.
Yes.
It was nice.
Oh, it was the best.
And it was wild that they were able to accommodate us. The number one restaurant in town, according to ChatGPT.
Yeah. For good reason, by the way.
They could sort a couple of lists. I love that, you know? Yeah. And even the Google AI search results are getting pretty kick-ass now. Have you noticed that?
I have noticed that some of them have gotten better.
Yeah.
We also went to a little place called the Enchanted Forest. That was on our way in. And it's basically this like little theme park that this dude started making in the 70s. He built all kinds of pieces of it by hand.
Single-handedly, this guy.
Yeah, just him.
Yeah.
And his family still runs and owns it. I actually found a really cool little documentary on it by Coaster Mania on YouTube. You can check that out.
Yeah. Now, look, we have, we'll be completely honest about this. And because it's handmade by one guy who started it just with some passion and not really a lot of talent. And I think he even says that in his own documentary.
Yeah.
Sort of a learn as you go sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Some people are on TikTok, you know, using that music for Jurassic Park that's sort of done on kazoo.
Oh, it's not the Jurassic Park music. It's the Polar Express music.
There's Polar Express music, Jurassic Park. There's also Titanic, My Heart Will Go On.
Wow. Okay. I've only right. Okay. I do remember. Okay. Yes. Okay.
Right. Like, or. And it goes south like this.
Now that you mention it, I do remember those. The most prevalent in my mind is the Polar Express one.
Okay.
But yeah.
No. Anyway.
But yeah, some people will put some pictures up from there to sort of take the piss.
Right. So yeah. So we kind of went with that in mind, knowing, you know, that this is. You know, what do you say? It's for kids.
Yeah, yeah.
If you're watching, you notice that they have a few classic children's story tale.
Fairy tales and stuff.
Right.
Yeah.
And but if you're listening, like, some of the stuff is like super close to copyright infringement.
Yes. Okay. There were a few things that I didn't know how they got away with it. Like, when you first walk in, you walk through basically a Cinderella's castle type thing. Well, I guess it's a Sleeping Beauty's castle, because you see, like, what looks like the Disney version of Sleeping Beauty, sleeping on a bed. And then when you go down in the basement, there's Disney's version of Maleficent.
Unless they could somehow justify that that's how it was. Because these fairy tales that Disney has, you know, created beloved full-length animated features out of,
mm-hmm.
were and are still in the public domain. Anybody can do their own version of it.
Mm-hmm.
But when Alice in Wonderland looks almost exactly like the cartoon, you wonder how they got away with that, or
yeah. Well, and I think that one they probably got away with because it looks, the Disney one looks like Lewis Carroll's version, you know. So they're just kind of following the source material,
right? That, right. That's exactly what I was thinking too. Like, if the book specifies, you know, white dress, blue apron, then you know, how there's only so many ways you can depict that,
right? Blue dress, white apron, but that's okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah, you're good.
Well, let's wrap it up with what's coming up.
Well, first and foremost, this Saturday, August 23rd, is going to be a back-to-school disco night. This is for teens 13 to 18, and it's going to be at the Broadway Plaza. They're going to have music, dancing, giveaways, and food trucks. So super fun for all the kids to, you know, go out, shake their groove things.
Yeah, disco, though, really? Like, I mean, that almost sounds like an adult's version of what they think kids 13 to 18 want. Like, I mean, I'm not saying dubstep is the answer, but like, K-pop?
K-pop, maybe. I feel like K-pop is a little too niche
EDM
in a way, which is funny to say, especially with like K-pop Demon Hunter coming out and being a huge smash hit.
Right.
But frankly, I think disco is the way to go. It's good, clean, fun.
And speaking of, okay, this is probably, and maybe, I tell you what, if it's still a big enough deal, next episode we'll touch on it. But we didn't even, speaking of the Idaho Falls Downtown Development Corporation, we didn't even talk about the parking fiasco.
Oh, I know. I'm so glad.
Do you remember we were talking about how now it's going to be an app and you're going to have to pay to park? Mm-hmm. Well, apparently they didn't tell anybody about their plan to do that. And a bunch of downtown businesses got upset, including the Idaho Falls prosecuting attorney's office.
Yeah.
Saying, hey, our clients come here to, you know. Yeah. Anyway, so they kind of reeled that back awfully quickly.
Yeah, kind of as they should. Yeah. Well, and also, I was thinking about it, and I don't really get how they even can do that, because the streets belong to the city, and therefore, like, isn't it the city that should be doing that?
I don't know. But that's not going to happen for a while, and, you know, I'm almost glad.
Yeah.
I'm almost glad that we ran out of time to talk about that, or forgot to talk about that somehow. Yeah. You guys are off the hook.
For now.
But by God, it sure looked like you stepped on your own there for a second.
I mean, it's good that they caught themselves before they fell flat on their faces.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
What's next?
All right. Well, that's the only thing coming up this weekend. Anyway, the next two events are going to be coming up in the near future.
All
right. First and foremost, we've got our friends over at Roddy TV. They're actually going to be doing an anti-AI art contest. Wow, that's hard to say.
And Roddy, I'm so sorry. We're just now plugging it at the very end of the show, but we promised we would. And so Roddy hates AI art, and dude, I don't blame you, bro. I am with you. Absolutely. So he wants to encourage, and they've got a bunch of cool stuff, including one of our new friends on Instagram. Dang it. It's the Heart Event Center. I'll describe it to you. It's sort of a workshop where they have live models and you can come in and draw and or paint.
I've seen them. Dream Joy Art Salon.
That's it.
Yes.
Thank you.
Yeah, I rock, I know.
They seem really cool. It seems really cool. The idea seems really cool.
Yeah.
And here is me telling AI, look, I want to enter the contest, but don't make the drawing look good enough for it to be AI artwork.
Okay. At that point, that's the thing. I don't think it can do it. I really don't. I don't think the AI has the capability. And while we were in Oregon, we saw that one billboard, which I wish we would have taken a picture of, that totally looked like it was made by AI. And I feel like it's so easy to pick out now, you know?
And AI, why did you do Dylan dirty like that and give him boobs?
Right. It's messed up.
You're a hot chick, Dylan.
Anyway, I think it's a great idea. I'm really glad they're doing it. And you can DM the art to them on Instagram.
Yeah, that's how you enter.
And the deadline is Friday, August 29th. So get it in before then.
Okay.
Last but not least, Saturday, September 20th, the U-Pick Red Barn is opening for their 20th season. Yeah, that's going to be from 9 a.m. to 10 p.m. They'll have the fresh picked pumpkins in every size, color, and shape, all of your favorite fall activities, and then some. And they'll have some delicious seasonal treats and farm fresh snacks.
And does the city of Idaho Falls know this?
You know, I'm not sure is the thing. Now, when they say that they'll have those, I'm wondering if they finally took the advice and got in some food trucks and that's how they're going to handle the fall.
Hosting their own food. Yeah.
Right, right. So maybe that's how they'll do the whole fall snack thing.
Once again, You Pick Red Barn has the opportunity to answer questions from the community and hasn't taken it.
Yeah.
As of press time.
Mm-hmm.
There's people who have asked, so did you get all that shit squared away with the city of Idaho Falls?
Yeah, right.
And they haven't responded.
Yeah, which makes you wonder.
So will there be a raid on opening day? Find out.
Guess we'll see. Maybe go opening day so that you can, enjoy it for the time it lasts.
Yeah.
And also see all of the fun news as it unfolds. Yeah.
Maybe you'll get interviewed afterwards.
Yeah, there you go.
By a news source in a trust.
Now, my piece of advice would be, until they answer that question, maybe only buy food from food trucks that they have there rather than from them directly. Because I would hate for their kitchen to not be up to standard and for you to get food poisoning or something horrible like that.
Of course, that won't happen.
Yeah.
That would be purely speculative, and we would have no reason to even wonder about that.
Well, I'll just say that we do tend to have...
Had it not been for all that shit last year.
Right. We do have regulations for a reason, at least with some stuff. And generally, the things you put in your body is kind of a big deal.
That's what she said. That's our show. I forgot how to do this. Stay fresh, cheese bag. Oh, go get them, Tiger.
Stay cool, my guys.
IFAF.